Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, in the name of thy Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King. We thank you for allowing us to see another day. We ask, Father, that you forgive us for all our sins and that you hear our prayer. Father, thank you for this time that you have set apart for us, the Shabbat day. Thank you for meeting with us, talking to us, leading us and guiding us, Father. Forgive us for our hard-headedness and our stiff-neckedness, Father, when we go to the left and to the right. Chastise us, Father. Bring us back onto your path. Father, we thank you for protecting us throughout the week. We ask that you continue to heal us mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally. We ask, Father, that you heal our Ema Deborah, according to your will, Father. Bring her through. She's your daughter, Father. Remember her in all her obedience, Father, like you remembered our brother Hezekiah, Father. Heal her and keep her with us. Don't let anything happen to her, Father, because we know the effects of this plague that is going around, Father, and we know all things work according to your will. Father, we just ask that you continue to look after the little ones, look after the Zakins, Father. Look after all of Israel. Continue to grow us and turn us into the men and the women, the sons and daughters that you desire, Father. Father, we ask that you continue to grow your spirit within us, Father. Continue to be the husbandman that you say you are, Father, and grow that word within us. Father, we thank you for your Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King, for all the things that he's done to do for us on a daily basis, Father. And it's in his name that we give you praise, glory, and honor. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who chooses the Torah, Moshe, his servant, Israel, his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, family. This is your brother Deuel, and welcome to Magnify the Torah and Make It Honorable. Today's lesson is called Obedience Through Suffering. And we're just going to get right into it today. But our opening scripture, as always, for this go-round is coming from Isaiah chapter 55. And we're going to read that whole chapter like we always do, because this is the way Abba has been leading. If everybody can hear me well, please just send a shout out. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1 says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, Todaki. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of Yahweh, your mighty one, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye Yahweh while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto Yahweh, and he will have mercy upon him, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our mighty one, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith Yahweh. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to Yahweh for a name and for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." So again, foundational scripture: his thoughts are not our thoughts, our ways are not his ways. We have to reach him. We have to. He's kneeling down to us. We're reaching up to him. All right. Now we're going to read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9. We're going to read the whole chapter. Because one thing my brother said, and he is correct: got to preach Yahushua. Got to tell people about Yahushua. See, when I first did this, you know, we were stopping, you know, just to make a point and keep everything in line. But when you read Hebrews chapter 9. When you read it in its entirety and you listen to what it says about our brother. Because it breaks it down. All right? Hebrews chapter 9, starting in verse 1, it reads, "Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all." So he's getting you, we've been through this. We know how the tabernacle was set up. It had the outside court. Then you had the inside of the tabernacle, that first compartment with the showbread and the candlestick and the altar incense. And in front of the altar incense was another veil. And inside that veil, you had the holiest of holies, as it's called. And then there had the ark with the mercy seat. So he says, and after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. Verse 4, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid about it with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had the manna and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant that was inside of the ark. All that was inside of the ark. Verse 5, he says, and over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of Elohim. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. Now, if you look up this word errors in the Greek, number 5-1, and the word is agnoema, and it means a thing ignored. That means a shortcoming. But it comes from number 50, Greek number 50, and that word is agnoeo, and it means not to know through a lack of information or intelligence, by implication to ignore through disinclination. Now remember, incline your ear to Yahweh so you may hear. Disinclination means you're not doing that. You're not inclining whatever it is. But in conjunction with the scripture says, the scripture says that we're supposed to incline our ear, make our ear larger to Yahweh, listen for Yahweh, right? But right now, he says to ignore through disinclination. You're not hearing, you're not listening. But it comes from another one, number 3539. And this word is noeo. It means to exercise the mind, observe, that is, to comprehend or to heed. So, it says the second priest went into the second with the high priest alone, everyone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors. Or so if he wasn't listening to Yahweh, if you didn't understand something, if you ignored it, This is what the priest was bringing that blood for, right? He says, for himself and for the people. This is what the offering was for. He's talking about the second, the high priest, when he went inside there once a year, that once a year, Yom Kippurim, the blood was offered up. Verse 8, hope everybody's following me. Hope everybody is listening to what is being taught, what this word is teaching us. He says, verse 8, the Holy Spirit, this signifying that the way of the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, which as the first tabernacle was yet standing. The Holy Spirit, this signifying that the way to the holiest, the way into the holiness was not yet made manifest. We couldn't deal with the Father yet while this first tabernacle was still standing. The way wasn't made yet. Verse 9, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the consciousness. Listen to what he's alluding to. See, because he says the error has to do with the way you're thinking. So the blood was offered for that. But now he's saying, just because he offered the blood for that and offered the sacrifices and all these gifts, it still did not make your consciousness perfect. Your mind still was not right with the Most High. Right? He says, verse 10, he says, which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. If you look up this word Reformation in the Greek, number 1357, this word is deorthosis, deorthosis. And it means, it's from a compound and a derivative, meaning it means to straighten thoroughly. That means it's to straighten thoroughly. Rectification, that is specifically, it says specifically, the messianic restoration. So even though they was going through all these washings and all these sacrifices and this, that, and another, their minds still was not straight. It don't get straight until you get the Holy Spirit. It says the Holy Spirit is telling you this. The Holy Spirit is signifying these things. Verse 11. But Messiah being come, a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So again, all that was just to teach us what Messiah was going to do for us. Our ways are not his ways. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. You know, it was a grand revelation that, I don't know which brother said it, But somebody listened to Yahweh, and they call this Torah the holy intellect of Yahweh. We literally have his mind, and he's trying to elevate it. He gave us a piece of his mind to elevate our minds to his stature. Then, on top of that, he gave us a piece of his spirit to tell us about himself. That's what he did. His blood is the one. Let me keep on reading. It says, neither by the blood of goats, verse 12, neither by the blood of goats and of calves, but by his own blood he entered into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Verse 13, but for if the blood of bulls and of goats and ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Mashiach, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to Yah, purge your own consciousness from dead works to serve the living mighty one. So the way that they say, okay, you take this heifer and you do all this with it, you cut it up, you burn it, and you go, and they threw it on their flesh, and they threw it on their flesh, and they threw it on their flesh. And they say it purged the flesh. But when Yahushua gave up his blood, now your spirit is being purged of those dead works. Now you can say, now, to serve the living mighty one. Remember what that word said. His spirit, the spirit of the Son, allows us to cry out, Abba, Abba. It's not until we get that spirit that we can say, our Father. Verse 15, he says, and for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgression that they were under, the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Let me read that again. I messed that up, just in case anybody didn't get it. For this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal life. He gave his life up for those who were underneath that first covenant. That's what he said. That's what they're saying. He became the mediator of this New Testament. So it didn't change anything. Those that was underneath the first covenant, you accept Yahushua, come on in. He says, verse 16, For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator lives. Now, you could take the word testament and put the word will in there. You know, like you have a living will, or the, you know, like when you die, people have wills, right? As long as a person is alive, their will is of null effect. But it doesn't take effect until after the person dies. That's what they're saying. And that's why Yahushua had to give his life up. That's what he's saying. In order for his will to be accomplished, it necessitated him. It had to be done. All right? So think about it. So think about when when he had that conversation with Peter, and he was talking about giving his life up. Peter said, no, you ain't. And Yahushua said, get thee back, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. Because you want to please men. You ain't trying to please the Father. Yeah, it cut Peter. It hurt him. See, but he didn't understand the necessity. I have to do this. I have to. In order for my will to take effect, I have to give my life up. And I'm giving it up for you so you can have eternal life. I got it. He said, he told him flat out, I laid my life down and I got the power to pick it back up. So it ain't for me that I'm doing this work. I'm doing this for my friends. See, when you think about all these things that he's doing, that he's done, and he did this in the flesh for us. For us. And he laying his right down why he's doing this. For us. To make that pathway open. Because remember, when that first tabernacle was standing, the way to the Holy of Holies was cut off. But when Yahushua died, if everybody remember, he gave that ghost up. He said he gave up the ghost, he gave up that spirit, and the veil was rent. Now a way to the Holy of Holies is made through his death. Remember, one of the last things that he prayed, Father, make them one like we are one. I and you, me and them, and we're all one. Well, how can that happen if the way to the Father is blocked off? So it had to get cut. A way had to be made. And he did that for us. It says, verse 17, for a testament is a force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator lives. Verse 18, he says, whereupon neither was the first testament, was dedicated without blood. Whereupon neither was the first testament, was dedicated without blood. He's going to get into it. He's about to explain it right now. 19, for when Moshe had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet and hyssop, with scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament, which Elohim have enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled the blood both the tabernacle, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. In order for me to purge your mind, in order for me to straighten the path, I have to give up my life. In order for me to correct the error, in order for me to incline your ear, in order for me to get your mind like my mind, I had to die. He says, verse 23, it says, it was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with a better sacrifice than these. For Messiah is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are figures of the truth, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of Yah for us. He ain't gone into no nothing here on this earth that men built. He's in the presence of Yah himself, his Father, our Father. And he's up there on our behalf. He's up there for us. It says, nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he have often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, what in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself? And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Messiah was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So again, what did Isaiah 55 say? Seek Yahweh while he may be found. He says, so Messiah was once offered to many to bear the sins of many. So Messiah was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear. Seek Yahweh while he may be found. He said he's going to appear to them that's looking for him. Right? So you just wanted to read that and get an idea of just some of the things that Yahushua is doing for us, has done for us, and is doing for us. Just some of the stuff. You know? Some of the stuff. Right? Now, we're going to read 1 Samuel chapter 15. Let's go there. Oops. Wrong button. First Samuel chapter 15, starting at verse 1. Remember, he learned obedience through the things he suffered. And he reads, Samuel also said unto Saul, Yahweh sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of Yahweh. Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that he hath, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. So Yahweh showed me something about Amalek. Now, if you look at Amalek, in the Hebrew, it's number 6002. And they really don't have a definition for it. Brown Brigham Driver says, it says, dweller in a valley. I looked up another word in the Hebrew. The way you spell Amalek is Ayin, Mem, Lamet, Kuf. If in the Hebrew, number 4454, If you look up this word in the Strong's, number 4454, this word is Malak, which is the Mem, Lamed, and the Kuf, right? The Brown, Briggs, and Driver says it means to nip off the head of a bird, to nip or nip off. Strong says to crack a joint, by implication, to wring the neck of a fowl without separating it. Now, this word is only used two times in the scriptures. The word malak is used in Leviticus 1:15, and that reads, and the priest shall bring it into the altar and wring off his head and burn it on the altar, and the blood thereof shall be wrung out on the side of the altar. The word wring off, and it's talking about a bird, talking about one of the offerings. The word wring off is the word malak, and in Leviticus 5:8, it says, and he shall bring them unto the priest, who shall offer that which is for a sin offering first, and wring off his head from his neck, but shall not divide it asunder. The word wring off again is the word malak, right? But this is the word that comprises the base of Amalek. But then you have the I in there. So you have, let's say, see or experience ringing off. And this is experience a cracking of the joint. Experience a nipping of the head, right? So keep that in mind as we read down here, right? Because remember what Amalek did up in Egypt. He said he laid wait. He didn't get the head, but he got the hind. He was nipping off those who couldn't get away. Because, all right. Verse 3, go back to 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 3. It says, now go and smite, oh, I read that. Okay, now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that he hath, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. So he got specific stuff. He got real specific with him. He says, verse 4, and Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Yehuda. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. But you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah unto them, until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile, and refused, that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of Yahweh unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto Yahweh all night. So this act of disobedience, and you know, he's the king. Yahweh said, I wish I didn't even make him king off of this. I wish I didn't even set him up as king. Look at him. He's not following me. And then it took a toll on Samuel, because Samuel going through it. This the man, he went and anointed Saul. You know, he's going through it. He's feeling Yahweh's pain. He says, it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto Yahweh all night. Verse 12, and when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of Yahweh, I have performed the commandment of Yahweh. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? If you listen to Yahweh, why am I hearing all these sheep? Why am I, what's up with all these oxen? What's all this cattle noise I hear? If you did what Yahweh said, call them right on it. Verse 15. And Saul said, they have bought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto Yahweh, your mighty one, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what Yahweh hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou was little in thy own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and Yahweh anointed thee king over Israel? And Yahweh sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of Yahweh, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of Yahweh? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of Yahweh, and have gone the way which Yahweh sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto Yahweh thy mighty one in Gilgal. See, now he's, I listen to Yahweh, and I'm bringing back a God, the king. But you still didn't listen to Yahweh, because Yahweh said, kill him. See, you're sitting up here trying to make excuses for yourself. Right? And all these excuses keep popping up, excuse after excuse. And no, not me. I didn't do it. The people took the sheep and the oxen, this, that, and another. And they wanted to sacrifice this stuff on the yard. Hold up. You the leader. You the king. He's not even addressing the people. He's addressing you, Saul. He says, but the people took up the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto Yahweh, thy mighty one, in Gilgal. Now you remember and all everything Yahweh said, the chief of the stuff. And you're right, because that's one of the things that Yahweh said destroy, specifically. Verse 22, and Samuel said, have Yahweh as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of Yahweh. Question for everybody. That's what he delights in. You really want to make Abba happy? Listen to his voice. What does he delight in? An obedient son, obedient daughter. We say in Isaiah 55, incline your ear to me. Just listen to me. He said, talked about the sure mercies of David. He says, and Yahweh is greater delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of Yahweh. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Verse 23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of Yahweh, he has also rejected thee from being king. Remember, because this is what we're going to be talking about. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Why? Why did he say that? Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. What's going on with your mind? Because anytime you're thinking about witchcraft, you're thinking about a spell. And a spell is something, or that whisper. Remember, Nakash, the whispers. Who's in your ear now? Are you disinclining your ear to Yahweh? Or are you inclining your ear? Who are you trying to hear? Remember, Yahushua died to correct your misunderstandings. He died for that. His blood gives you the opportunity to hear and understand. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So when you're rebelling against the Most High, your mind isn't right. It isn't straight. It says, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as the iniquity and idolatry. Is as iniquity and idolatry. And for stubbornness. And he's talking about the king of Israel right now. And you know, and all throughout the scriptures, it ain't even about right now, all throughout the scriptures, Yahweh has had an issue with the leadership of Israel. He has an issue with the people of Israel. Eventually, he had the issue with the prophets. Some of his prophets not listening. Hard-headed prophets, people chasing after money and other things, self-serving people. He says, because thou hast rejected the way. It was just a few. Just a few that he loved. Just a few that listened to him. And I'm sorry, but that's the truth of the matter. You know? So many people rebel against this word. And that's why we have so many. That's why it's so hard to unify. Because why take and listen, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Then you go from rebellion to stubbornness. See, when you rebel, and think about it, Nimrod, a continuous rebellion. You're the son of Nimrod. You're going to continually rebel. Why? Because if you continually rebel, what happens? You become stubborn. You become obstinate. You're not moving. You don't even want to hear it. It's like talking to a wall. And there is no moving. So when you say, man has this stony heart, but he had to break the stony heart and turn that stony heart into a flesh, something that he can work with. He says, for rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity, and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of Yahweh, he has also rejected thee from being king. Verse 24, and Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of Yahweh and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. It's one of the things that I would say we can't be. We can't fear the people's face. We can't do it. In the New Testament time, they talked to Peter. I believe it was Peter. He said, oh, whoa, wait a minute. They said, don't you preach in the name of Yahushua HaMashiach. Said, what? Hold up. Should I obey Yahweh? Or should I obey man? Nah, better obey Yahweh. It's better to obey Yahweh than it is to obey man. He says, now therefore, verse 25, now therefore I pray, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship Yahweh. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of Yahweh, and Yahweh hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And Samuel turned about to go away. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, Yahweh has rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than you. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he shall repent. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship Yahweh, thy mighty one. Look, I know I sinned, and I know you rejected me, but please put on the show for me. Come on, don't do this to me in front of the elders. Don't do this to me in front of the people. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped Yahweh. Then said Samuel, bring ye hither. Bring ye hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately. And Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. And Samuel said, as thy sword has made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before Yahweh in Gilgal. You hear that? Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house to Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and Yahweh repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. So look what happened with Saul. And we know the story. We read the story. Started a downward spiral for Saul, where at one time it got to the point where at one time he was chasing the witches out, slaughtering the witches. Then he went to go consult them. Got bad for Saul. All because he rebelled. Devarim chapter 31, verse 27. And again, all these about rebellion. Deuteronomy chapter 31, or Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 27. And this reads, "For I know thy rebellion." And remember, this Moshe speaking, and he's about to be taken off the scene. "For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, you have been rebellious against Yahweh, and how much more after my death?" I'm with you right now, and y'all rebelling against Yahweh. Y'all gonna be even worse off after I die, after I'm taken off the scene. That's our history. Numbers chapter 17, verses 1 through 10. Numbers, or Bar Mitzvah, number 17, starting at verse 1, and it reads, "And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and take one of every one of them a rod, according to the house of their fathers, of all their princes, according to the house of their fathers, 12 rods. Write thou every man's name upon his rod. And thou shalt write Aaron's name upon the rod of Levi. For one rod shall be for the head of the house of their fathers. And thou shalt lay them up in the tabernacle of the congregation before the testimony where I will meet with you. And it shall come to pass that the man's rod whom I shall choose shall blossom, and I will make to cease from me the murmurings of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur against you." Y'all hear that? So when you were murmuring and you rebelling against the leadership, guess who you rebel? Guess who's listening? You're murmuring against Yahweh. You're murmuring against Yahushua. You're murmuring against that Holy Spirit that's within you. He says, "And it shall come to pass that the man's rod whom I choose shall blossom. I will make to cease from me the murmurings of children of Israel while they murmur." In other words, Yahweh don't want to hear it. How long are you going to go back and forth with the man of the Most High? How many times you got to go back and forth with him, Israel? He says, verse 6, "And Moshe spoke unto the children of Israel, and every one of their princes gave him a rod apiece, for each prince won, according to their father's house, even 12 rods, and the rod of Aaron was among their rods. And Moshe laid up the rods before Yahweh in the tabernacle of the witness. And it came to pass that on the morrow, Moshe went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded, and bore forth buds and bloom blossoms, and yielded almonds. And Moshe brought out all the rods from before Yahweh unto all the children of Israel, and they looked and took every man his rod. And Yahweh said unto Moshe, Bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony to be kept for a token against," it say, "the rebels," but if you look at the sons of rebellion, in other words, against the sons of rebellion, "and thou shalt take away their murmurings from me, that they die not." In other words, if there is a son of rebellion, it means there's a father of rebellion. Again, when you're rebelling, who are you listening to? Something or someone is in your ear. Isaiah chapter 30, verses 1 through 11. Yeshaya, chapter 30, verses 1 through 11. And this reads, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith Yahweh, that take counsel, but not of me." Let me repeat that. "Woe to the rebellious children, saith Yahweh, that take counsel, but not of me." Who are you listening to? What is causing you to rebel against Yahweh? "And that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit." Let me read that again. "And that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin." Yahweh's spirit ain't going to allow. That's not his will. He didn't die for that. He did not die for that. He didn't give his life for that. That you can just pile sin upon sin upon sin upon sin upon sin. He didn't give his life for that. You know, as my brother said last night, we covered in the blood, so that means we can do whatever we want. No, it don't. You are blaspheming. You are making his sacrifice. You are making his death of no effect. When you do that, when you just say, "I can do what I want because I'm covered in the blood." "Woe to the rebellious children," said Yahweh, "that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. That walk," verse 2, "that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not acts at my mouth." "To strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt." Now we know what Egypt points to. We ain't supposed to grasp all this stuff from the world. He says, "You didn't ask at my mouth." You know? We have to compare these things. Whenever we get some quote-unquote worldly knowledge, you compare it against what Yahweh says. You ask at Yahweh's mouth. He says, "You don't strengthen yourself in the shadow of the shadow of Egypt. Don't trust in that shadow. Whose shadow are you supposed to see? Because if you're in the shadow of something, that means you're behind something. That means you're following something. So if you're in Egypt's shadow, you're following Egypt. But Yahweh said you're supposed to be in my shadow. You're supposed to be following the Most High." He says, verse 3, "Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame. The knowledge of this world is going to be your shame. And the trust of the shadow of Egypt, your confusion." Verse 4, "For his princes were as on, and his ambassadors came to Haman's. They were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be a help, nor a profit, but a shame and also a reproach. The burden of the beast at the south into the land of trouble and anguish, from whence came the young and old lion, the viper and fiery flying serpent. They will carry their riches upon the shoulders of young donkeys and their treasure upon the bunches of camels to a people that shall not profit them. For the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still. Don't get involved in the affairs of the world. Don't be taken by this. Why? What do you say? Your riches are going to be taken away. Going to be walked off on camels. They're going to load up donkeys with stuff that belong to you. So what do you say? Your strength is to sit still. Just like he told Moshe at the Sea of Reeds. Stay still. Watch salvation of Yahweh. Don't trip. And see, and that's the thing. Right now, that's what Abba got us doing. Sit your butt down, Israel. Sit down. Just chill. Do less. Right now. So to speak. Do less. I got this. So he says, verse 8, now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in the book, that it may be for the time to come, and forever and ever. This is a rebellion. Write this down. Yahweh wants everybody to know how he feels about his sons and daughters. Forever and ever. Write this down. And always remember this, y'all. That this is a rebellious people. Lying children. Children that will not hear the law of Yahweh. That is written down forever and ever. That Abba sees us this way. They some rebellious kids. They lie. They will not hear my law. They just won't listen to me. Which say, verse 10, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not. Which say unto the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Lie to us. Don't tell us the truth. We don't want to hear the truth. What you see? Oh, you see bad stuff coming for us? No, we don't want to see. Well, don't see no more. You see destruction coming for us? It's heading for us? Okay, we don't want you looking for nothing else. And this is what Yahweh says to remember about his people. Write it down forever. He says, we say to you, seers, see not, and the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease before us. Cease from before. We don't even want to see God. Don't tell us about no God. I don't want to hear about a Yah anything. This is the state. This is the rebellious sons and daughters who are not listening to Yahweh, who are not inclining their ear to you. And this is the state that they're in. And I'm going to just read this last one and think about our people with this one, the verse 12. So originally it just wasn't there, but just listen to this clause. It says, wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and stay there on. You hate, you don't trust my word, but you trust your oppressors. Oh, if he ain't hit the nail on the head on the nail that time. If he didn't put it, if our father don't know his sons and his daughters, they put so much stock in their oppressors. So much stock in the people that's bleeding them dry. But refuse to hear the word of Yahweh. We ain't got to do that no more. That's old. That was for them. This was this and any excuse, whatever. Just rebel and rebel and rebel to the point where you're stubborn now. But he said that's how it's going to be. And at the end of the day, what he say to his people, tell them. Whether they hear it or forbid. Even got the one prophet, he told him, hey, I know they ain't going to hear you, but tell them anyway. I already know what's going to fall on deaf ears, but tell them anyway. All right. Ezekiel chapter 2. First, let's read this one first. We're going to go to Ezekiel chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Then we're going to go to Ezekiel chapter 2. Excuse me for 1 second. All right, Ezekiel chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, the word of Yahweh also came to me, saying, son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear and hear not, for they are a rebellious house. Again, talking about his people. His sons, his daughters. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 2 now. Starting in verse 1. And it reads, And he said unto me, son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet. that I heard him that spake unto me. You hear that? Entered into him when he spoke to Ezekiel. Or yes, it fell. Set him upon his feet, that he heard him that spake unto him. His ear is inclined to Yahweh. Verse 3, he says, and he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, that thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Master Yahweh. And they, whether they hear it or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house. Can you hear? See, Yahweh getting some stuff off his chest. And he's telling Ezekiel about it. That's the type of relationship they have. You know? Because over time, it grew. It grew. To the point where, think about it. He came down in the flesh to talk to his friend, Abram. Yahweh needs somebody to talk to about these kids of his that just don't listen. Sometimes he just got to get some stuff off his chest. So he talked to his friends, the prophets. He says, and they, verse 5, and they, whether they hear it or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there has been a prophet among them. For thou, son of man, and thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And you shall speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth that I give thee. And when I look, behold, a hand was sent unto me. And lo, a roll of a book was there. And he spread it before me, and was written within and without. And there was written there lamentations and mournings and woes. We'll go to Ezekiel chapter 3. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not too many people of a strange speech and of a hard language, whose words thou cannot understand. Surely, had I sent thee unto them, they would have hearkened unto thee. You hear this? The people who... If I would have sent you to some people that don't even understand your language, they would listen. But these dudes that this house of mine that understands you and don't have a communication problem like I'm having right now, they're not going to listen to you. But let me send you to an Italian, the Italians. They were here. Let me send you to the Polish people. They were here. Let me take you to the Russians. They were here. They heard so good. He says, but to the house of Israel, verse 7, but to the house of Israel will not hearken. But the house of Israel will not hearken on thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. They're not going to listen to you the same way they ain't listening to me, because they're impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. Get it? Get what Yahweh just did to that. He said, don't be afraid of their faces. Don't be afraid of their words. So what did Yahweh do with Ezekiel or Ezekiel? He strengthened his face. So they got lion faces. I'm going to give you a lion face. He said he strengthened his forehead against their foreheads. They're going to kick some type of knowledge at you. Okay, I got you. I'm going to fill your head with knowledge too. I'm going to make you combat ready. Why? One of the things I'm doing is raising the army. But what did he say? My army is so strong that one can send 1,000 to flight. Two going to send 10,000 to flight. See? But how can we become that strong warrior if we're rebelling against Yahweh? How can we become that strong warrior if we're not listening to Yahweh, if our ear isn't inclined on Yahweh? We can't. We'll falter under the pressure. He says this, verse 8 again. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. Verse 9, and as adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thy heart, and hear in thy ear, and go, get thee to them of the captivity, unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, thus saith Yah, the Master Yahweh, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Receive his words. Receive it in your heart. Hear with your ears. Verse 12. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of great rushing, saying, blessed be the glory of Yahweh from his place. I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touch one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, and a noise of great rushings. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of Yahweh was strong upon me. Then I came to them of the captivity at Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv, that's still there. That dwelt by the river of Kibar. And I sat where they sat and remained there astonished among them 7 days. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth as a watchman. Therefore, this is why you hear the word at my mouth, watchman, and give them warning for me, because I have made you a watchman over the house of Israel. This is the reason why you have to listen to me. This is the reason why you have to tell them. He says, verse 18, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked place to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at your hand. Yet, if you warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked ways, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered your soul. You understand what Yahweh is saying? It's not a game. You know, us hearing the word of Yahweh, us inclining his ear, us speaking the words that he said and delivering them in a manner that the people have to understand. You understand that it's your soul. Your soul hangs in the balance. And again, talked about it before. Lack of understanding, we can deal with. Belief, can't deal with. What you believe is up to you. That's your belief. Your belief. If you don't understand something, we can work with that and continue to work with that. We just read one of the things that Yahushua's spirit died for, that one of the reasons why he gave us his Holy Spirit is for understanding. One of the reasons he laid his life down was to correct the understanding of things. That's one of the reasons why he died. So we can deal with that. Now, when you're talking about belief, that's something totally different. That's something totally different. That's one of those strongholds, as my brother is talking about. He says this. He says, verse 19 again. If you warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked ways, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Verse 20. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand, at your hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul. And the hand of Yahweh was there upon me. And he said unto me, arise, go forth into the plain, and I will there talk with thee. Then I arose and went forth into the plain. And behold, the glory of Yahweh stood there, as the glory which I saw by the river of Kabar, and I fell on my face. Then the Spirit entered unto me and set me upon my feet, and spake with me, and said unto me, go, shut thyself within thy house. But thou, O son of man, behold, they shall put bands upon thee, and shall bind thee with them, and thou shalt not go out amongst them. And I will make thy tongue cleave to the roof of thy mouth, that thou shalt be dumb, and shalt not be to them a reprover, for they are a rebellious house. It comes a time where I'm gonna let you just go your way. If Yahweh makes the tongue of the prophet, the tongue of the watchman, cleave to his mouth where he cannot speak, and everybody's just doing what they want to do, then what? It's a lot of souls lost. Because they are a rebellious house. Verse 27, he says, but when I speak with thee, I will open thy mouth, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Master Yahweh, he that heareth, let him hear, and he that forbeareth, let him forbear. For they are a rebellious house. Family, we cannot rebel against Yahweh. We cannot turn our ear away from him. We have to hear what he's saying. We have to engage with him. Don't stunt your growth. Our Father is talking to us. Our Father is... he gave us that Spirit as a direct link to him. We go through Yahushua. He's the mediator. And he says, whatever we ask Abba in his name, it's going to be granted. He's the tie that binds. You know, what he's done for us is just immeasurable and insurmountable. There's nothing anybody can do but take it away from us, to take it away from us, accept us, you know, by rebellion, by going against him. Right? So family, let's just stay within the confines of Torah. Stay within the confines of Yahushua. And just keep growing. Keep growing and keep listening. Right? And check those spirits also. You know, check it against that word. And if you think, if it don't feel right to you, don't sound, consult one another. Consult the watchman. Seek the law at the priest's lips. All right? So, last verse, Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 and 5. Yeshaya chapter 50, verses 4 and 5. It reads, the Master Yahweh have given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word and season to him that is weary. He waketh morning by morning. He waketh mine ear to hear as to learn. The Master Yahweh hath opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away, neither turned away back. So, family, that ends this segment of Magnify the Torah, Make It Honorable, Pray Abba Continue to Grow His Sons and His Daughters. If you have any questions or comments, just send them on the chat line, and we will get to them. Me or one of the other Marais will get to them, or an elder. You know, we put everybody out there. But we're gonna get to the learning, the edification, because that's why we're here. All right. Blessed are you, Yahushua, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, Righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Now one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Abba Yah, in the name of thy Son, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King, Yahushua HaMashiach. Father, forgive us and forgive our forefathers for rebelling against you, for being that hard-headed, stiff-necked, impudent children, Father. Forgive us for being reckless in our ways. Forgive us for not listening. Forgive us for holding other opinions over yours, over your truth. Forgive us for not giving you your proper honor, your proper place within our lives. Forgive us, Father. We have so many things, so many things to be asked to be forgiven for. Forgive us for all of them, the ones who we can't think of, Father, where our spirit cries out to you, even when we don't. Our spirit communicates for us, even when we can't. Father, we ask that you protect us, lead us and guide us in your word. Continue to grow us within your word. Continue to make us into the sons and daughters that you so desire. Prepare us, Father. Heal us mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally. Prepare any breach in any relationships, Father. Let us reach out to one another. Let us see things through your eyes. Hear things through your ears, Father. Wherever we fall short, Father, strengthen us to overcome any obstacles that come our way. Strengthen us to remove the mountains, to climb through them, climb over them. Give us the strength to endure to the end. Father, bless all the Israel. Watch after the little ones. Watch after the Zakins, the Zakinas. Again, heal our Ema, Father. In the name of our son, Yahushua HaMashiach, heal our Uma. And bring you to just be one with us. Continue to show us your ways. In Yahushua HaMashiach's name, we pray, giving you praise, glory, and honor. Thank you once again for this Shabbat day and this time that you have given to us. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Shabbat shalom, family.
Because you have rejected his instructions.